Today we are talking about the amazing Son of God. The amazing Son of God. So I want you to open your Bibles to Mark chapter 1. And I want you to begin with verse 22, if you will, please. Just follow with me as we read verse 22. Mark 1, verse 22. It says, "The people were amazed at Christ's teaching, because He taught them as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law." You know, over the years, I sat in the audience and have listened to some great preachers proclaim the Word of God. And at a Promise Keepers conference for pastors in Atlanta, Georgia, several years ago, I had the privilege to hear Charles Swindoll, Max Lucado, Tony Evans, Philip Yancey, Charles Stanley, and a preacher that I had never heard of before named Bob Russell, all speak on the same stage. And these preachers were great. I mean, their messages were fantastic. There were thousands of pastors and preachers in the audience who applauded, laughed, cried. Some even fell to their knees in repentance. And it was such a wonderful experience that I will never forget. However, despite how great the preaching was, I don't think that I would have ever used the word amazed or astonished to describe what I experienced when I heard these men speak that day. And yet these were the very words used by Mark to describe how the people responded when they heard Jesus Christ preach for the very first time. In fact, Mark uses the word often to describe how the people and even the disciples reacted toward Christ. Mark 1, verse 21, "The people were amazed at His teaching." Mark 1, 27, "The people were also amazed." Mark 2, verse 12, "This amazed everyone." Mark 5, verse 20, "And all the people were amazed." Mark 6, verse 2, "And many who heard Him were amazed." Mark 6, verse 51, "They were completely amazed." Mark 7, 27, "The people were overwhelmed with amazement." Mark 10, verse 26, "The disciples were even more amazed." Mark 10, verse 32, "The disciples were astonished." And then in Mark 11, verse 18, it says, "And the whole crowd were amazed at His teaching." The word that Mark uses most often for amazed means to strike out with one's senses, to strike with panic or shock. As one author puts it, the people were dumbfounded by the incredible. I like that. The people were dumbfounded by the incredible. We might say something like, "That blows my mind." You know, I want you to say that with me. "That blows my mind." One more time. "That blows my mind." Say it like it blows your mind. "That blows my mind." Amen? Because what Jesus does blows our mind. And the people had never witnessed anyone or anything like Jesus before. So what was so amazing about this man named Jesus? I cannot possibly list all the amazing things about Jesus, the Son of God, but Mark, through the rest of this chapter, chapter 1, lists three things that he says was amazing about Jesus. I just looked over the audience and I see Nathan and his family here. Good to have them here. Good to have you here from Mexico. Good to, I know that you're going to be here for about a month or so. We'll be speaking, I think, on July 14th at our congregation there. Looking forward to that. So let's begin here by taking a look at what is so amazing about Jesus Christ. Number one is His authority. His authority. Say that with me. His authority. Follow with me as we read here Mark 1, 21 through 28. "And they went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus went to the synagogue and He began to teach. And the people were amazed at His teaching, because He taught them as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. Just then a man in their synagogue who was possessed by an evil spirit cried out, 'What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God.' 'Be quiet,' said Jesus sternly. 'Come out of him.' And the evil spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. The people were all so amazed that they asked each other, 'What is this? A new teaching? And with authority? He even gives orders to evil spirits, and they obey Him. News about Him spread quickly over the whole region of Galilee. Now, I want us to see here, first of all, that Jesus, number one, taught with authority. Okay? He taught with authority. Now, here we find Jesus and His disciples, the fishermen, you know, Peter, Andrew, James, and John, headed to their hometown of Capernaum, which was a fishing community on the northwest side of the Sea of Galilee. And Jesus takes at least two of them, James and John, and He heads for the synagogue. And it's the Sabbath, and Jesus knew worshipers would be gathered there. Remember, He told the disciples, "I'm going to make you fishers of men," so He now has an opportunity. And although there was only one Jewish temple, and that's found in Jerusalem, synagogues were placed in Jewish communities all over Judea and the Middle East. And they were places where Jews would gather for prayer and to hear, you know, the law and the prophets explained. And there would be several teachers, many of whom would be regular, some would be invited, but once in a while they would even allow a guest to speak. And on this day, Jesus is asked to speak. So Jesus moves to the front, sits down, and begins to teach. And again, He blows everybody's mind. Again, Mark said that they were amazed because He taught them as one who had authority, not like the teachers of the law. And I'm sure that most of these people came to the synagogue every Sabbath, every Saturday. That they have heard many teachers. They've heard those experts of the law of Moses. And still yet, they have never heard anyone who taught with such authority. And Jesus wasn't merely teaching God's Word. He was calling the people to action. I mean, Mark tells us in Mark 1 verse 15, he tells us that Jesus went to Galilee preaching the good news. He said, "The time has come," Jesus said, "the kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news." I mean, Jesus' message was urgent. He said the kingdom of God is near. He said that the message was bold and demanding. He told the people, repent. Turn away from your sins. Believe the good news. I mean, I want you to think about this for a moment. Sitting before the worshipers proclaiming the Word of God is God's Son Himself. I mean, He was commissioned by God, sent from heaven, filled with the Holy Spirit, and especially anointed for this task. He had authority like no one else. He was the eternal Son of God who had entered our world as a human being, proclaiming the truth of God's Word, and not merely just some rabbi's interpretation. What He said was absolute truth. I mean, no wonder the people were amazed. But then we see here that Jesus, secondly, that Jesus commanded demons with authority. Not only did He teach with authority, but He commanded demons with authority. Right in the middle of Jesus' sermon, a man possessed by an evil spirit cries out, "What do you want from us, Jesus of Nazareth?" Every time I read that, I always think it has to be the voice that was in The Exorcist. You know what I'm talking about? You know, that gruffled voice. You know, they ask, "Yeah, have you come to destroy us? I know who you are. You are the Holy One of God." I mean, can you imagine what that must have been like on this day? Now, we don't know how many times this demon-possessed man had been coming on the Sabbath to hear these teachers of the law. We have no idea. Was this the first time that he was there? We don't know. But I never had anyone yell out like that while I was preaching. You know? Although I did have a former elder come up front and interrupted my sermon while I was preaching and said he needed to speak to the congregation. That was awkward. But I did hear about a preacher who was preaching on the Church of Philadelphia from the book of Revelation, when someone yelled out, "They also make great cheesesteaks." You know, so I don't know if he was demon-possessed or not. But so sometimes there are people who yell out, you know, during these sermons. But notice that there's more than one demon that possessed this man. The plural pronoun "us" is used here. And these demons know exactly who Jesus is, the Holy One of God. And unlike so many people today, friends, I want you to understand that demons believe that Jesus is the Son of God. They believe it. They know it. But as James writes in James 2 verse 19, that demons believe and do what? And tremble. What do? They tremble. I mean, just because you believe means nothing if you haven't committed your life to Christ. But the demons asked Jesus, "Have you come to destroy us?" What do you think is the answer? Someone tell me, shout it out. What do you think is the answer? Yes, absolutely. Absolutely He has come to destroy them. In fact, John tells us in 1 John 3 verse 8 that the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. That's why He's here. Here is a poor man that is demon-possessed. And although we do not know what the demons have been doing to this man and to his family, later Mark will tell us about a father who comes to Jesus just begging Him to cast out a demon from his boy, from his son, who had been throwing his boy into the fire and the water trying to kill him. Mark 9 verse 22. Friends, Satan and his minions hate us. They hate us. And they will do all they can to hurt and destroy us. That's what they are about. That's what they're doing. They're not just possessing this man just so he can go on a Sabbath day and hear teachers of the law. They are there to hurt this man and to hurt his family and to hurt others. But Jesus, with the divine authority, says, "Be quiet. Come out of him." And the evil spirit comes out of the man with a shriek, shaking the man violently. And the people, it says here, were amazed. What were they? Amazed. They were amazed. And they say to Jesus, about Jesus, He gives orders to evil spirits and they obey Him. And the news about Jesus quickly spread throughout Galilee. So yes, the authority of Jesus Christ is amazing. Do you agree with that? It is amazing. But secondly, what we see here at Jesus is amazing because of His power. His power. Let's read on. Mark 1, 29 and following. As soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. This is Simon Peter. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever and they told Jesus about her. So He went to her, took her hand and helped her up, and the fever left her and she began to wait on them. And that evening after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who He was. Now, here we get a quick glance into Simon Peter's home life. Peter's married. His mother-in-law is sick with a fever. Now, Luke, the physician, describes it as a high fever in Luke 4, verse 38. As soon as Jesus leaves the synagogue, He is escorted to Peter's house by James and John. It says here that Jesus goes in where Peter's mother-in-law is, lying down with a high fever. He takes her hand and helps her up. Now, Luke said that He rebuked the fever and it left her. I mean, then the woman gets up and she starts waiting on everybody. Okay? Here she is afflicted with a high fever. She gets up and she starts waiting, everybody. I don't know about you, but after suffering the high fever, and it's finally gone, I don't feel like doing much. How about you? I mean, after a high fever, I am so weak and drained and I have body aches. I mean, it's a chore just to go to the bathroom. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you've been there. I mean, after a high fever, you just don't feel like, you're just not well. But not this woman. As soon as Jesus rebuked the fever, she is completely well, back 100%, as if nothing was wrong with her. Okay? So here with authority and power, Jesus rebuked and cast out a demon from a man. And with that same authority and power, Jesus rebuked a fever that immediately left this woman. I mean, I find that amazing, don't you? I find it amazing. Well, the people of Capernaum certainly did. Because we see here verses 32 and 34 that by the end of the Sabbath day, the townspeople were at Peter's door bringing their sick and demon-possessed loved ones to Jesus. Now, you notice here that it says by the end of the Sabbath day. A Jewish day was measured from sundown to sundown. You know, we measure ours from midnight to midnight. So in addition to not... We see here that what's happened on the Sabbath day is that the people were restricted on that day. Not only were they not allowed to work on the Sabbath, but nor were they allowed to travel no farther than 2,000 cubits, or 6,000 feet, which is just a little over a mile. The sun is set, and now the townspeople are coming out in droves to find the man that they heard could cast out demons with such authority. And Jesus accommodates them, and He begins healing the people with various diseases and casting out all the evil spirits. I mean, the power of the Son of God was seen and felt that day. Amen? Let's bring up that slide here. I think we have a slide. So we understand here that Jesus is no ordinary man. Amen? He is no ordinary man. We're talking about the power of Jesus Christ. And I want you to, again, I want you to imagine the scene of people coming and pounding on Peter's door. I mean, what would it be like if people gathered on our front lawn some Sunday afternoon just because we brought Jesus home from church? I mean, think how amazing that would be. I mean, see, when Christ shows up, I mean, crowds are curious. But notice that Jesus would not allow the demons to speak and proclaim who He was. We already saw the other demons. They said, "We know who You are. You're the Holy One of God." He will not allow these demons to speak. Jesus Christ does not depend on the testimony of demons, but only on the testimony of His followers, you and me. And I find it interesting that the demons wanted to declare who Jesus was and were made to keep silent, and those whom Jesus wants to share with others who He is don't say a word. I mean, could it be that we're just not amazed at the Son of God? We need to have this amazement of who God is, of who Jesus is, and what He does for us. But then thirdly, we see here, as we're preaching through Mark, skipping down to verse 40, we see that Jesus, is amazing because of His compassion. At this time, Jesus has left Capernaum. He is now still in the region of Galilee, I'm sure around the surrounding lake of the Sea of Galilee. And it says here in verse 40, just follow with me as you read, a man with leprosy came to see and begged Him on his knees, "If You are willing, You can make me clean." And filled with compassion, Jesus reached out His hand and touched the man. "I am willing," He said, "be clean." Immediately, the leprosy left him and he was cured. Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning. "See that you don't tell this to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifice of Moses commanded for the cleansing as a testimony." Now Jesus, wants him to understand, listen, the law of Moses specifically says this is what a person is to do if he is to ever be cleansed of his leprosy. He must go to the priest, and the priest then will look him over, and then he will then say that he is either clean or he's not clean. And if he pronounces him clean, he can then return to his family. And so he is telling this man, "I want you to follow the law of Moses. Don't go and tell anybody else what I've done. I want you to immediately go to the priest, as the law of Moses said, and I want you to take care of this. Go to him, and he will pronounce you clean." But notice verse 45, and verse 45 said, instead, he went out, he didn't obey. Instead, he went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. Now, honestly, I think I'd be doing the same thing. But here he is, saying, man, he goes out and says, look what Jesus did. And as a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly. There's the problem. He could not enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places, and yet the people still came to him from everywhere. You know, among all the townspeople of Capernaum who had gathered at Peter's house to find Jesus to heal their diseases, you would not have found a single leper among them. Lepers were not allowed to live in the towns and villages. They had to live outside the town. In fact, lepers were never allowed to be around people, for they were deemed unclean by the law of Moses, by God's law in Leviticus 13. They were outcasts. Outcasts. If a leper happened to come upon people, he was warned them immediately by raising his hands and yelling out the best he could, "Unclean! Unclean!" I mean, their disease was highly contagious. In Matthew's account of this incident, we find Jesus being followed by a large crowd when the leper approaches in Matthew 8, verse 1. And I want you to imagine what would happen next. I mean, a commotion is stirred in the crowd. As Jesus turns to see what is happening, people begin to scatter to the left and to the right. And then Jesus hears a faint voice, "Unclean! Unclean!" And looking up, Jesus sees a leper who would normally avoid the crowds at all costs. And he sees him coming toward him. The people are fleeing because they know what the law of Moses said. The law of Moses forbade anyone to have any contact with a leper because to do so would also make them unclean. But yet Jesus isn't running. After walking up to Jesus, the leper kneels before him and he says, "Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean." And cleansing a leper was tantamount to raising the dead. But yet this man expresses no doubt of Jesus' power. Undoubtedly, he's heard about Jesus. He's heard what he can do. He expresses no doubt that Jesus can heal him. His only concern is if Jesus is willing. Are you willing? And then Jesus does the unthinkable and the unlawful. And he reaches out and he touches the leper. I am willing, Jesus said, be clean. And Mark writes in verse 42, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cured. Now leprosy, as described by the Bible, was a hideous, foul disease. The late Dr. Brand, Paul Brand, was a missionary, a medical doctor, who spent years in India studying and treating those with leprosy. And he wrote in his book, In the Likeness of God, that leprosy generally begins with pain in certain areas of the body. Numbness follows. Soon the skin in such spots loses its original color. It gets to be thick, glossy, and scaly. In fact, the Greek word for leprosy is lepros, which means scale. And I opted not to show you any photos, by the way. He added, as the sickness progresses, the infected area becomes dirty. Becomes dirty sores and ulcers due to the poor blood supply. The skin, especially around the eyes and ears, begin to bunch with deep furrows between the swelling so that the face of the afflicted individual begins to resemble that of a lion. Leprosy is also known as the lion's disease. Fingers and toes begin to drop off or are absorbed. Hair falls out. Blindness often occurs, not because the person can't see, but the eyelids cannot be opened. Leprosy results in a lingering, humiliating death. Luke records that the man in our story, in Luke 5, verse 22, verse 12, was covered with leprosy. I mean, no wonder the people would scatter. They can't be near this man. The law of Moses forbade it. But notice in verse 41, again, it says, filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and he touched the man. Now, Jesus didn't have to touch him. In fact, in Luke chapter 17, we read that just by speaking, Jesus healed 10 lepers who stood at a distance from Him. All that Jesus would have to do is speak. But the compassionate Savior knew that this man needed more than just a healing at that moment. He needed acceptance. He needed acceptance. I mean, who knows how long it had been since this poor man had felt the gentle, loving touch of another human who was not a leper. And by touching the leper, Jesus actually breaks the law. He breaks the law of Moses. To uphold the spirit of the law of love and compassion that God has for hurting people. I find the compassion of Jesus amazing, don't you? I find it amazing to know that God loved us enough that He would go beyond the norms of the day to show us what a true love looked like as He reached out to this leper and touched him. You know, let's bring up that slide here, if we will, please. The question is, are you still amazed by Jesus Christ? I mean, that's what we're talking about here. I mean, we read through Mark. I mean, Mark throughout that gospel just kept saying people were amazed. They were amazed. They were astonished. They were amazed. They were amazed. I mean, they were amazed at what Jesus Christ could do. And now fast forward to 2019 AD. And maybe we have lost the amazement of who Jesus really is. Maybe that's the reason that many of our churches, you know, have empty pews, because we have lost the amazement of who Jesus Christ really is. Of what He has done for us. That He is truly the Son of God with all authority, all of power. That He's truly compassionate and He loves us. I mean, after all, God sent His Son to the cross for us, didn't He? He sent Him to the cross for us so that we can have eternal life. You know, we use the word amazed so often. You know, we talk about so many things that amazes us. We go to see a movie. Well, that movie was amazing. Amazing movie. We go out to eat. Well, that was an amazing dinner. You know, we go to concerts. Man, wasn't that group amazing? But you see, who is really amazing is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen? He is the one who is truly amazing. And because He is so amazing, let's go out and share Him with others. I mean, that's what the demons wanted to do. Jesus said, keep quiet. But He wants us, the Bible tells us, that we are to go into all the world and tell others about Jesus Christ. Amen? That is our commission. That is our commission. And yet, so often we keep it to ourselves. We go to our places of work and we keep it to ourselves. We know family members who are lost without Jesus and we keep it to ourselves. We know neighbors who don't know Jesus and we keep it to ourselves. I mean, maybe it's because we don't think Jesus is amazing anymore. May God forgive us of that. And may we truly make an impact on the lives of people by letting them know how amazing our Lord and our Savior really is. For what He's done for us. For coming to this earth to die for ungodly sinners like us. How amazing is that? How amazing is that? And it's all because of love. All because of love. If you're here today and you haven't yet given your life to Jesus Christ, I want you to know that God loves you deeply. He loved you enough to send His Son to the cross. So that you and I can have eternal life. And you haven't yet given your life to Jesus, will you talk to us about it today? We want to show you what you need to do to turn away from the sin. As Jesus goes preaching, He says, repent of your sins and believe the good news. The good news is that God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to this earth to die for sinners like you and me. That's the good news. That's the good news. And that's the good news that God wants you to believe today and accept today. We're going to have one of our elders up front, if you will, please. Tammy,